Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Milaha YTD June results conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you'll need to press star and one on your telephone keypad. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, on Wednesday, the 23rd of July, 2014. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Shahan Keushgerian. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, this is Shahan Keushgerian from QNBFS. I'd like to welcome everybody to Milaha's first half 2014 earnings call. So I'd like to introduce management first. We have with us Gautam Bhullar, Senior VP Corporate Development and Communications, Sami Shtayeh, VP Financial Planning and Analysis, and VP Finance Ismail Hamad. So the way we'll do this is management will discuss their results, and then we'll open up the floor for a Q&A session. Gautam?
Thanks, thanks, Sean. And thanks, everyone, for joining the call today. sorry if it's a little bit early in New York this morning, if there's anyone joining from New York or from the U.S. East Coast. Our agenda is similar to previous calls. I'm going to make a few opening remarks on our first half performance and turn it over to Sami to discuss the financials in more detail. And then following which, we'll provide a brief outlook on the rest of 2014 for each of our segments. And after that, we'll throw it open to questions once we're done with the presentation. Overall, the story is similar to the one we had in Q1. We had a disappointing first half of the year by our standards. Net profit year-on-year was down 10%, the first time in a while that we've had a year-on-year decline, while revenues were essentially flat. If we dig one level deeper from the group financials, our three core business segments, offshore, gas and petchem, and maritime and logistics, were down 6% overall, and Milaha Capital was down 15% year-on-year. If we go one level deeper still, the offshore and maritime and logistics segments declined pretty significantly. Offshore declined 74% on the back of a poor first half for its most profitable unit, which is diving services. And maritime and logistics was hit with reduced export volumes due to plant shutdowns in Mesaid. And also, we also saw some declines in our logistics and shipyard activities. The good news is that the gas and petchem segment, which has remained relatively steady, flat the last couple of years, grew its profit by 60% as the VLGC market recovered quite strongly from previous years, and we expanded our presence in the harbor marine services space. So that accounted for a good first half for the gas and petchem segment. Milaha Trading, while it contributes a pretty small percentage of our bottom line, also grew strongly in the first half as the expectation of increased project activity drove higher sales of trucks and heavy equipment. Let's be clear, while some of the events affecting our performance in the first half were outside our control, especially things such as volumes, we fully recognize that there were some operational issues that we did not handle as well as we could have. We're taking a pretty hard look at how to recover some of the lost momentum from the first half, particularly in our core businesses, and I'll get into more on that later. With that, I'll turn it over to Sami to discuss the financials in more detail.
Thanks, Gautam. I will first go over the published consolidated financial results for our first half and then get into a bit more detail on the segments. Operating revenues for the first half of 2014 were $1.244 billion compared to $1.240 billion in 2013 for a slight increase of 0.3%. Operating profit for the first half of 2014 was $339 million compared to $442 million in 2013 for a decrease of 23%. And net profit for the first half of 2014 was $518 million compared to $574 million for a decrease of 10%. I'll now get into the segment results, highlighting the large variance items versus 2013 and explaining them. Starting off with maritime and logistics, overall revenue was slightly up year over year by $2 million, but several moving parts are important to understand within that $2 million. Port services revenue increased substantially due to a 9% increase in TEU traffic compared to 2013. Similarly, we saw increased import volumes in our container shipping unit. Export volumes, however, took quite a hit due to a client plant shutdown in Masaid. This also impacted our Q1 results and was discussed back then, with all indications at the time that operations would be back to normal at mid-May, but that obviously didn't happen. We now expect normalcy in August. That's what we're being told. Our bulk shipping unit had higher revenue due to them chartering out more vessels that they have chartered in, and you'll see expenses go up because of this. And lastly, our logistics and shipyard activities also posted weaker than 2013 revenues. On the expense side, salaries and wages increased, and that was mainly out of our port services unit related to higher volumes as well as some wage increases. Operating supplies and expenses were higher due to chartering in expenses out of our bulk unit. As I mentioned when discussing revenue, they had higher chartering revenue and similarly the higher chartering expenses. We also had higher port charges related to the increased import volumes out of our container shipping unit. On the non-operating income side of things, we gained approximately $9 million more in 2013 from selling assets throughout the year, and that did not recur this year. On to offshore, overall revenue decreased by $56 million, and this was by far the result of lower revenues in our diving operations. We really had a series of issues that really tanked the utilization, and the issues included a scheduled dry docking for a vessel that took over twice as long to complete than was originally planned. We had equipment breakdowns. But lastly, and most importantly, continued delays in receiving and employing a new vessel, the name of which is El Shaddad. This vessel has been a sore topic for quite some time. Last we spoke on the call in Q1, we expected to take possession of that in May. We did, in fact, get it, but unfortunately, the client had some issues with it, so we've been working diligently to rectify those issues. We're on the last leg of finalizing things with the client and expect it to be employed in August. The good news is that it's already under contract, so the minute they accept it, the minute we start earning revenue, the client is anxious to get it, and we're more anxious to give it to them. That should really help improve our second half results for offshore overall, really. On the cost side, we had higher operating expenses, including higher depreciation related to new vessels we took possession of last year, as well as expenses related to the diving vessel I just spoke about. Moving on to gas and petrochem, overall revenue increased by $39 million, and that was driven by increased rates in our wholly owned vessels, as well as additional revenue from our port marine operations, where we gradually have been receiving more boats. As of the end of Q2, we had a total of 15 in our possession. Since then, we've actually received one just yesterday, and we're going to get another one tomorrow, which would leave just two more left, which we expect to get in August. On the expense side, costs increased mainly related to those new boats. And on the non-operating income and expense side, we saw a $56 million increase from our joint ventures and associates, with $27 million of that coming from our 30% share of Nakhilat and $28 million coming from our Gulf LPG joint venture, which shot up due to the steep increase in LPG market rates. Our trading pillar saw a very large increase in revenue to the tune of $59 million, with associated cost of goods sold in the amount of $52 million. And those increases really came both from higher equipment and bunker sales. In fact, slightly higher equipment than bunker sales. And last but not least, our capital pillar saw a decrease of $49 million in revenue. The drop was due to two main factors primarily. The first being in Q1 2013, we took a gain of $30 million from the sale of one of our subsidiaries available for sale portfolio. And the second reason, the market dip in June really hit us hard. Overall, the market dropped 16% in June. Through May, we were up pretty nicely, but June really, really hurt us. And it's worth noting that things have since rebounded, and we've gained back those losses that we had at the end of June. Partially offsetting those two factors were $3 million in additional rent revenue and approximately $20 million in higher dividends. And that pretty much sums up our operations and brings us again to an overall net income of $518 million. And with that, I'll turn it back over to Gautam, who will discuss our outlook.
Thanks, Sammy. Going to the outlook, in general, our operating outlook for the rest of 2014 is significantly better than the first half, I'm happy to say, particularly for the segments that did not perform well in the first half, offshore and maritime logistics. As I mentioned earlier, we have spent a lot of time in the last couple of months to find short-term measures on both the revenue side and the cost side to recover as much as we can the rest of the year in these two underperforming segments. Let me go through the outlook segment by segment. Sammy's mentioned some of it. I'll take you through a little bit more on this. On the maritime and logistics side, the numbers, as you know, are driven by the two large units, container shipping and port services. For container shipping, we expect the export volumes, as Sammy mentioned, to return to normal levels in Q3, which will help drive better results in the unit for the rest of the year. We're also looking, in parallel with that, we're also looking at a number of short and medium-term initiatives to drive incremental revenues out of that unit. For port services, we certainly expect a significant improvement in the second half of the year. We saw some relatively strong growth of 10% plus in import volumes in Q2, higher than Q1. And we're optimistic that this growth trajectory can be maintained the rest of the year. Side by side with that, we're also targeting a number of ancillary revenue streams where we can leverage our fixed cost base and expect some upside from that in the coming months. Going to offshore, we expect the offshore segment to also improve strongly over H1. But I think it is safe to say that we will not achieve anywhere near last year's numbers. Fixing the diving services issues that we've had, the diving service unit issues that we've had is obviously a priority. And as Sammy talked about a little earlier, getting the new diving support vessel, the Shaddad, to start generating revenues is critical. So it's already contracted to QP for 5 years. However, because of the modifications we've had to undertake, it's still not earning revenues. We expect to complete that in the next few weeks. So hopefully we see revenues for at least 4 months of this year from the vessel, which will make a big difference. Beyond the Shaddad, we're also expected to take delivery, barring any unforeseen delays, of four or five additional vessels towards the end of the year and expect some positive impact on the bottom line for this year from the new vessels. But the bigger impact from these vessels is likely to be in 2015, not so much in 2014. We're targeting new markets beyond our traditional core of Qatar and Saudi Arabia to improve utilization across the existing and incoming fleet, while at the same time keeping options open on potentially rationalizing some of the existing assets that we have, particularly the older ones. In our gas and petchem segment, which had an excellent first half, we expect to continue to see strong results overall for the rest of the year. We expect the VLGC rates to come down from the record highs that we saw in Q2, but still expect a much stronger market than we've seen in recent years. Our LNG sector plays are largely of a long-term nature, so any fluctuation will mainly be due to Nakilat's performance. We have managed to put both of our fully owned and operated ammonia gas carriers on time charter, and so we expect a stronger and more stable second half of the year on the gas side. On the flip side, however, the product tanker markets have declined since a relatively strong start at the beginning of the year. And given the expected increase in supply of medium-range tankers, the MR tankers in the market, we expect the rates to potentially further weaken the rest of the year. In the harbor marine operations, as Sammy mentioned, we expect to take delivery of the four remaining vessels. All pilot boats, two of them are pretty much there at this point, out of the 19 vessel order that we had placed. And we will officially start the 20-year marine operations contract for QP. In our trading pillar, we also expect to continue the strong momentum from Q2 in our trucks and heavy equipment sales in particular. The order backlog continues to be strong, so we certainly expect to maintain performance going forward. And last but not least, in our capital segment, the Qatar equities market has, again, Sammy talked about this a little bit, has already bounced back in July from its sharp decline in Q2. But beyond that, we're not going to comment on expected performance the rest of the year, except to say that it'll be more or less in line with the market. With that, we'll throw it open to questions.
If you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. To cancel your request, please press the hash key. Once again, to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. There are no questions. As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. We now have a question from the line of Umar Farooqi. Please ask your question.
Yeah, this is Umar Farooqi from Global Investment House Kuwait. My first question is on the vessel that you said that got delayed and is likely to get delivered in 2014, and at least it will operate for 4 months. Can you give an idea about the revenue generated per vessel? And my other question is, what are the current utilization rates, and where do you guys see yourselves going in terms of utilization?
Take the first question on the Shaddad. As you said, we've received the vessel. It's undergoing minor modifications, and we'll see revenues probably the last 4 months of the year. From that vessel, much less than what we were expecting earlier. But in terms of the actual rates and the revenues on that particular vessel, we don't have that.
Okay. And the utilization levels for the other vessel?
The utilization levels are generally in the range, it depends on the type of vessels we're talking about. We're in construction and maintenance vessels, we're talking about, in the mid to high 80s on utilization. On the diving side, this is the part that we've suffered this year. We're down below 50% on diving operations this year. which is what we're trying to improve the rest of the year. And on the rest of the vessels, you know, your PSVs, your anchor handlers, and so on, again, the utilization numbers are actually pretty good. They're up in the 85 to 90% range.
Okay.
That's why we focused the presentation really on the diving unit, because that is the one that is pretty much the main cause of the results for offshore this year.
Okay. In terms of CapEx, can you give guidance for the next 2-3 years? I mean, where do you see CapEx? I mean, do you see the company accelerating the spending or?
We don't have guidance on CapEx going forward. We've given guidance on this year. We don't have a firm number yet on the upcoming years. We will do that, going forward, I guess, in the next year's calls. But we don't have guidance on that just yet. I mean, the main the capex that we've already talked about, that's already on what we've talked about is what is already in the plans, which is the vessels and the offshore both this year and next year. There's the capex around the 19 harbor vessels, which should be done this year, there's ongoing capex on the real estate side, which will spread into 2016 as well, based on current plans. But that's subject to change. Obviously, we don't have a full picture yet of the upcoming 3 years.
Okay, and one more question. I mean, you mentioned that the petrochem and the gas segment has performed well, but in the future, you don't. We're likely to see it stabilizing because of the charter rates are likely to come down. Can you give more insight about why they became so high? Recently and.
So it's a that's a good question. If we could answer that question, we would be we wouldn't have to face the volatility that is inherent in some of these markets. The rates part of it, really where the rates affect us is where we're in the spot market. And the spot market is essentially our VLGC segment, which, if you think about where we started the year, we were talking about $1 million a month at the beginning of the year for VLGCs. We went up in April, in the April-May time, so then it fell down to about 500 in February-March. And then it went up to $3.5 million, which is a record. In April, May. Then it came back down to $2 million. Volatility is the name of the game. Just to give you an idea. We're taking $3.5 million, just given that it's record high numbers. We're taking a view that on average over the rest of the year, you're not going to get that kind of that kind of rate. Still, relative to what we've seen in recent years, this is well above anything we've seen in recent years. So we still expect a good year. And we're only talking about, 50% share of four vessels. So that's one. The only other place we're exposed on the spot market is on our product tanker side. And those, they started well earlier this year, but there's been a lot of capacity building in that sector over the past year or so, and much more supply coming online. It's much more, other than to say there is going to be some pressure on rates is what we expect over the rest of the year.
The
rest of them are long-term charters, so we don't really get impacted by the spot market trends.
But I was wondering whether this segment will get affected by the sharp increase in oil and gas production in the U.S. I mean, that will have an effect on exports, from the GCC. So do you think that thing impacting in the long term?
No. I mean, I think if you look at how most analysts think about this, opening that up actually opens new trade lanes that don't exist today. So if anything, the opening of the U.S. market and exports from the U.S. market actually expands the transportation element quite a bit. And most of that is on the, we don't know how much of that is going to be on the gas side versus the product side just yet.
Okay.
But the overall market will actually be, in an overall global sense, it'll be a positive for the market, not a negative.
Okay. Okay, I think that's it for me. Thank you very much for answering the questions.
No worries.
Once again, to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. We have a question from the line of Jubin Hulsar. Please ask your question.
Hi. My question is regarding there is a net profit margin compression in the maritime and logistics segment. Just want to confirm, is it something to do with the container shipping business segment, or is more than that?
I'm sorry, I didn't get the full question. Could you repeat that question?
I was asking about the maritime and logistics segment. The
sure.
net profits margin of late is coming down. So it's currently at around 9%, 9.5% from 2013 high of 14%. So is it because of the container shipping segment which is not doing good, or is there any other reason?
So you're talking about the net profit margin decline, is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, okay. There's a couple reasons for the net profit margin decline. One, like I mentioned, last year we sold approximately $9 million of assets. Sorry, we took a gain of $9 million on the sale of assets.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not really a recurring thing that you can expect year in, year out.
Okay.
We might have some additional assets, underutilized assets that we might sell later on in the year, but I don't foresee it coming to the level of what we hit last year.
Okay.
So that's one reason. On the operating side of things, the container shipping unit, as you mentioned rightfully, that really hurt the numbers because let me kind of paint the scenario here. We have these vessels; they're coming in from UAE to Doha. They're coming in with containers. Going out, they were going out with containers, with exports. So we're incurring the cost coming and going. However, the exports have now really taken a big hit because of the plant closure. So we're basically maintaining the same cost structure, but we're not getting any of that revenue that we were getting in the past.
Got it.
That's the second big thing. And then the third thing is the fact that really, we earned some revenue on in chartering out vessels with lower margins. The nature of that business is you make a margin, you make a markup, but the margins are very much lower than what you would expect from any of the other segments within the maritime and logistics segment. So those are the three main reasons.
Yeah,
okay.
So, you know, you're combining asset-heavy businesses with asset-light businesses. So when you have more in the asset-light side, which is the bulk shipping,
mm-hmm.
the charter-in and charter-out revenues, obviously there's a margin squeeze on the overall numbers that you'll see. But the other stuff is not systemic, is I guess the point, right?
Yep, got it. But going forward, what would be the normalized net margin we should be looking at from this business, this segment?
I think the best way to get that is you know, look at last year, take out the gain on the sale of assets.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it's closer to what it should be, minus a point or a point and a half, because of the bulk shipping activities that they're now doing, chartering in and chartering out.
Okay. Got it. Thank you. Just one more question from my side. It's regarding the in the offshore segment, you are expecting two more vessels to be delivered towards the end of 2014. Do you think that will be deployed immediately, or there could be some changes to be made in those vessels as well?
I think you got – so we said two more in the gas and petrochem, which is part of the port marine operations. Those are we have two more coming online in the month of August. Those are under contract, 20-year contract with QP. Unless you're referring to the offshore vessels, but those are not two; those are five vessels. Or which one are you referring to exactly?
I was specifically mentioning about the offshore segment. So I just want to know they will be utilized as soon as you will be getting it.
Yeah, two of those have already been they're already under contract, so we're awaiting delivery on those contracts. There's a couple that are not yet contracted that we still have time, and we're obviously busy in the business development stage and the tender stages of multiple opportunities. But two out of those are already contracted to Saudi Aramco when they arrive. So a lot of these vessels, it's important to keep in mind a lot of the new builds that have been that are coming online have been built with the Saudi market in mind.
Okay.
There's a lot of activity going on in Saudi Arabia at the moment.
Okay. Okay. Perfect. I got it. That's all from my side. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And we now have another question from the line of Umar Farouki. Please ask your question.
Yeah, and this is Umar again. I want to ask regarding the QP plant shutdown. I mean, it was expected to come online in May, but now I think it's expected to come online in August. I mean, how confident are you that it will come online in August? And my second question is, how much does this contract contribute to the maritime and logistics segment?
I'll answer the first question, or not really answer it, but I would suggest that's really a question for the manufacturers. But our view is that the view we're taking is we expect to be back to normal in August or September at the latest.
Omar, that's actually not our view.
That's the view that we've received from the manufacturers. So
okay.
The volumes are there. It's starting to come back, but it's not back to the normal, the full normal levels yet. So we're expecting
okay.
that, according to the producers themselves, by September.
On the second part of your question regarding the impact, all I will tell you, I can't really get into commercial terms or rates or anything like that. But what I can tell you is. Mm-hmm. Decrease year over year has cost us, we're talking in the low teens, millions.
Okay.
So it has a direct hit on container shipping, but there's an indirect hit on some of the other units that also do some services and some work
particularly
activities
on the logistics side.
Surrounding that lost or that decrease. So.
Mm-hmm.
Container took the bulk of it, but there was some bleed on to the others. But you were talking low teens, over 10 million.
Okay, over 10 million.
So that's not the contribution that we get from them, but that's the impact because of the shutdown year on year. It's in that range.
Okay, thank you.
No worries.
We have no further questions.
Okay. Well, I guess with that, if there's any questions later on, feel free to reach out to us. Otherwise, thank you all for joining. Look forward to a better second half, and we hope to have better news for you in 3 months' time.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect. Speakers, please remain on the line.